that's kind of what's going to happen this year.
It very well could. It very well could. All right, the waste management starting tomorrow down in Arizona. Here's our man, Steve Sands from the Golf Channel on NBC. How you doing, Sandsy?
Fellas, how are you? I'm enjoying this Capitals respite from hockey for the 10-day span with that week off.
Yes.
What Capitals? What would you rather see, Sandsy, as a Caps fan?
Here we go.
One more cup or Ovi break the goal record? What would you rather have?
Oh, man. That's not fair. Come out firing, man. All right, as you guys know, I'm terribly old school. I would always go for the team thing more than the individual thing. But that's a really close one. I would give anything for another cup. And I would want a cup more than I would want Ovechkin to break the record, because I think it'd be a collective thing, not an individual thing. However, I do think, because it's Gretzky, and because I do think, kind of like LeBron James last night, I don't think LeBron's the greatest player in the history of the sport. I do think he's in the top five or top 10, but he's the best scorer because he's scored the most points. I know longevity, you know, has a lot to do with that, but he did score more points than anybody else. I think Ovechkin is not the greatest hockey player of all time, but I do think, whether he breaks the record or not, I think he's the greatest goal scorer in the history of the sport. And I would love to see him break that record, especially because it's Gretzky's and how big a stature he is. And here in the U.S., I don't know what it's like up there in Toronto with the Blue Jays, but probably the same thing. Because of what's going on in baseball the last 20 to 25 years of all the steroids and all that craziness, the numbers in baseball, which meant more in baseball than any other team sport in North America, nobody even knows how many home runs Barry Bonds has. Everybody knows 755, but nobody knows what Barry has. Everybody in hockey, everybody in sports now knows 18 with Nicklaus, Tigers at 15. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows 18, and everybody knows 894 with Gretzky. So I would love to see Ovechkin break it, and it would really, really be cool. But I'd rather see the Caps win another Stanley Cup on a personal note.
Aren't you happy, Sandsy, like with LeBron, what he did last night? The NBA GOAT conversation it's insane. It's just, it seems like it's every day, and for you, you're just like, that's Tiger Woods. There's not a question. I mean, some people might say Jack, but it's like, nah, it's Tiger. He's the GOAT. End of discussion. You don't have to get involved as far as the golf conversation goes.
Well, that's the thing. In my opinion, Gretzky is the greatest hockey player of all time. You could argue it, but I think Gretzky overall is the greatest hockey player of
all
time.
No question.
Did he win as many titles? I think so. But did he win as many titles? Did he win? Messier won one without him? You know, that kind of thing. I understand all that. I won two without him, right? One without him. I think in golf, it's Jack and Tiger. You can go back and forth. Jack's the greatest champion. Nobody ever played better golf than Tiger. I would probably go that route. But an individual sport's different than team sports, man. You gotta do it. You know, Djokovic is going to surpass Federer and Nadal, and you can't really argue with that because the numbers are what they are in an individual sport. Team sports a little different. I do think Gretzky's the best of all time. But LeBron, to me, I know you guys are big Raptors up there and talk basketball, I'm sure. To me, LeBron having to leave to go find a title somewhere else puts him farther down the list to me than being number one. You can't be number one if you had to go somewhere else to go win that first one. I know he went back to Cleveland and won one, but he had to go to Miami first. Gretzky won them in Edmonton. Tiger and Jack won them on their own. Djokovic and Nadal and Federer won them on their own. In basketball, Jordan, they came to him to win them in Chicago. It wasn't the other way around. To me, that's a really big deal. LeBron's a fabulous player. There's no debate on that. But I would not put him in the category with Michael, probably Kareem and Magic as well.
With Steve Sands of NBC and the Golf Channel. So the waste management begins tomorrow, and it's an elevated event. It's a stacked field. Yeah. And if you're interested in the odds, what sticks out is John Rahm actually is the favorite at, I believe, about 7-1. McIlroy right behind him at 8-1. And then there's a drop-off. Do you think, you know, Vegas, so to speak, FanDuel, so to speak, they have this right that Rahm and McIlroy are the two best and hottest golfers in the world and everyone else is chasing the two of them?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I love the venue for both of them. Remember McIlroy, number one in the world. Rahm right behind him at number two. Rahm's already won a couple of times this season, including in the California desert at the American Express. McIlroy has already won this year. That was over in Dubai. That's a desert golf course. They're playing this week in Scottsdale on a desert golf course. They're the two best players in the world. They're the two hottest players in the world. And I think they've gotten to the stature now, especially Rory. But when Rahm now plays and is playing as well as he is, I was at Torrey Pines in the booth a couple weeks ago, and Rahm had a chance to win a third straight start on the PGA Tour. That hadn't been done in 6 years since Dustin Johnson did it in 16 and 17. And Rahm's gotten to that category now where if he's on the leaderboard, everybody in golf knows it. All the players now know it. So when those two are hot like they are now, Brian, I think that they are the clear favorites. And that doesn't mean they're going to win, but they are the clear favorites coming into the week, no doubt.
Do the golfers ever get annoyed by the rowdy crowd at the Waste Management, or do you think that it's pretty cool that it's so much different than other tournaments?
Oh, they love it. The guys who go love it, embrace it, and if they don't enjoy the experience, if it's their first time, they don't go back. The guys who don't go are the guys who just say, you know what, it's not my cup of tea. It's once a year. I can skip that event, even though guys don't like skipping big ones. But they can skip this one if they don't like it. If you don't like the craziness, you'll get crushed out there, man. I've
How does the dynamic change, Sanzi, with the purse going to $3.6 million for the winner?
The dynamic changes a lot. And here's what's interesting, I think. So Saturday's the biggest day as far as the crowd and the zaniness and all that stuff. But all 4 days are huge. But Super Bowl Sunday isn't nearly as big and as loud as it is on Saturday. And when you're going for $3.6 million and a $20 million purse and an elevated event against a field this stacked, it's a little bit different. And I think that maybe you might see some more guys on the tour be annoyed by some of the noise as they're going for such a big win now financially than they perhaps were before. But I think these guys are pros. They understand it. But you've got to love it. You've got to embrace the craziness out there. It's the only time you're going to get booed. If you miss a green at 16, you're going to get booed in golf. It's the first time and only time these guys, other than the Ryder Cup and President's Cup, which every other year happens, and that's on a continent and a country basis. But it's the only time these golfers will tell you they feel like sports, they feel like athletes and not golfers. They feel like they're in team sports. They're getting booed. They're getting jeered. There's a lot of noise, a lot of stuff going on outside the ropes. It's a blast. First time I haven't been there in like 20 years. I'm going to miss it this week, but I'm sure going to watch it on TV. It's going to be a lot of fun.
So, Sanzi, it's an elevated event.
Yeah.
What is the tour's approach going to be for events following this one? I believe next week is in L.A., which is also elevated.
Yep.
But after that, if they get to some of the lesser lights, we saw what was going down at Pebble. Is the tour, I mean, are they going to ask guys, like beg them to just, hey, can you do me a solid here and show up at this event? Or how are they going to handle those lesser light tour events?
It's such a great question. We've been talking about this on and off the air on NBC and Golf Channel for the better part of the last 4 months, four weeks at the beginning of the season. Here's what's going to happen. I think people are going to realize what's been going on for the last 20 to 30 years anyway. It's always been a two-tiered tour. There have been great events with fields that you know are going to be loaded, like the Memorial, like Arnold Palmer's Bay Hill. Well, now they're just saying it. Now they're telling you that this week is elevated, that next week is elevated, that the Honda Classic in 3 weeks is not. But then in 4 weeks, you go back to elevated with Arnold Palmer's event at Bay Hill, and then back-to-back with the players being elevated. So I think fans are going to understand it. The most interesting thing to me is how are the sponsors going to handle this? How are these sponsors who are not in the elevated status and you get the field that you got last week at Pebble? AT&T is a monster sponsor of the tour,
a
monster sponsor. And to not have a field that's worthy or commensurate of the dollars they're putting in as a sponsor, to me, is a very tricky spot for the PGA Tour. It's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out, but for sure, your question and the point in that question is 100% correct. It's a two-tier tour, and right now they're trying to figure it all out. But the good ones are real good, but the bad ones are real bad, and they need to shake all that out and see how it all plays out moving forward. I think things are going to change after seeing it this year, beginning in 2024 in January. I think things are going to be a little different than they were this year.
with Steve Sands. As we know, they're in Phoenix this weekend, then in L.A., which is the Genesis Open at Riviera, yep. which means Tiger Woods will be there. What are you hearing on his health status, though, Sansy? Like, how should we be embracing this upcoming season for Tiger Woods?
You know, last time I saw him, he was limping pretty hard, and he was not getting around very well, and he had to withdraw from his own event in the Bahamas, the Hero World Challenge. I think if he doesn't play next week, I think that's just not a great sign health-wise. It's his own event. It's the event that gets the most money towards his charity, his foundation, the Tiger Woods Foundation, the TGR Foundation. And he just desperately wants to play a couple of times, at least once, before the Masters. I think he's definitely going to be in the Masters. I think he definitely thinks he has a chance to win at Augusta every time he tees it up there. But, man, he really wants to play one time or two times before that. And next week would be a perfect spot for that. He hasn't played in a long time. And if he's healthy enough, he'll definitely tee it up. But from what I understand and what I saw, he is definitely not 100%. But I don't think he's ever going to be 100% ever again.
You're saying he's playing next week, I see.
Whoa.
What's that?
So you're saying he's playing next week, I see,
no,
Sansy.
No, I'm not saying he's going to play. If I knew, I would tell you. I don't see him playing just to get out there and hit the ball. I think he wants to play and will play when he feels 100% or close to it, as close as he can be at this point, and feels like he has a chance to win. He's been working hard at home. That I know. I know he's been doing a lot of stuff at home, but that's not competitive golf. And it'll be interesting to see whether he puts a peg in the ground next week. I sure hope so. It'd be great to see him back out there. It's been a while. And he needs to play before Augusta if he truly thinks he has a chance to win the Masters.
Absolutely.
He's got to get a couple of reps. He's got to get a couple of reps in before that.
Got to, for sure. He is Steve Sands of NBC and the Golf Channel. We always love having you on, Sansy. Thank you for doing this. We'll do it again down the road.
My pleasure, fellas. Take care. Go Caps.
Yes, go Caps. Go OV, go Caps. All right, you want to fire up some picks here? It's an elevated event. Do we do a 5-pack, 6-pack?
I like 7.
A 7-pack for an elevated event. Okay.
Yes.
I can get down with that. Who do we remember who had the first pick?
Dude, I'll give it to you. I don't even care. I'm having a type of year with the picks.
Yeah,
I don't even care.
You're on fire right now. You are on fire. I will grant you that. All right. I feel like we probably have to divvy up the top two guys to start. I'm going to take McIlroy. I will take my boy.
Dude,
Rory
you
McIlroy.
Are such an
Rory
idiot. You
McIlroy.
Always take Rahm. He's your guy.
I know that, but this time I'm flipping it. I think Rahm's already won enough early in the season where like the field's just too deep. You know, like McIlroy hasn't played on American soil yet. I think he shows up to play.
Pretty take simple McIlroy. For me. Rahm.
Yeah. It's McIlroy and Rahm you split. I'll go with last year's winner. This is where he really started to take off. This is where, before you knew it, he was number one player in the world. Setting up for the Masters. He beat Cantlay in a great playoff last year. Scottie Scheffler. It's Scheffler at plus 1,300 on FanDuel. Has to happen.
Yeah, I'm going to take a guy. I played the golf course last year. I just think of a guy that just pures his irons and plays strategically really well. Richard Hovland.
Oh.
Richard Hovland.
Yeah, well, he got out of Pebble late, right? He had to play on the Monday. He crushes his irons. Crushes
Dude,
the goal.
He's not the longest off the tee, but he compresses his tee ball.
Yes.
Like he crushes everything he touches. Like he just crushes it, man.
Yeah. Legit. Like you're right about compression. Like he's hitting a 7-iron like 215, 220.
Like dialed in,
crushing a golf ball. I'm going to go with a guy who I think shots gained with the iron, he is elite. He puked all over himself in Hawaii, but I think the putter is coming together.
Oh, boy.
I will take Colin Morikawa at 16-1 on FanDuel. Colin Morikawa with my third pick.
I'm going to pick a guy that lives across the street from the golf course. Tone Finau.
Tony
Big
Finau.
Tone. Yep. Big Tone.
All right.
I like that pick. All right, moving on. You know what? I'm going to pick a guy that I think is going to stay hot. He just won a skills competition. He was on the show while he was doing that. I will take Max Homa Max
Homa. Wow, nice Max's selection. Nice selection.
All right.
I'm going to go with a guy who always kind of creeps up at this tournament, and I love him, and I love the way he rolls the rock, and his name is Jordano Spieth.
Ooh, you're getting pretty good odds, actually, on Spieth, I think. He's going off at 40-1 on FanDuel. He does play this track and this tournament pretty well. I'll go with the man that was in the playoff last year. He was a lot hotter at that point in terms of the way he was playing, but I'll go Patrick Cantlay. That's a five pack for me. We got a couple more picks.
I'm gonna surprise you with my last three picks, possibly.
All right,
I'm going with Keegan Bradley, because my boy Scotty Vail, we had a pep talk, his caddy, and he will be dialed in this week and ready to rock.
Okay. Keegan was good a couple weeks ago. He was really good a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, he was.
I'm going to take a guy who was over in the Middle East playing, and he can crush a golf ball, Cameron Young.
Yes, I like him.
Cam Young.
The second caddy I spoke to this week.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jace Walker. Mack Hughes caddy. Mack Hughes will be my selection.
Mack Hughes is your Canadian. Wow. Okay, so do I need to take a Canadian?
If you like.
Well, I'll take Pendrith then, considering what he just did at Pebble.
Okay.
I kind of wish he hit a driver off 18, but that's fine. I will take Taylor Pendrith.
I have one selection left, and I'm going to take a guy who I've always believed in. Mm-hmm. And he had a chance to win this tournament a while back, and Arnold Palmer gave him the business because he laid up like a chicken on a par 5 where he should have got his 3-wood out. The man wears orange on Sunday, and his name is Rick Fowler.
You're kidding me. You're taking Rick Fowler.
No, I am not.
Stop Ricky it.
Fowler. Dude, he's got Ricky a long Fowler. Putter right now with a Jumbo Max grip on it, and he's rolling the rock again.
Okay. There you go. Those are the picks. There's a lot of names that are still on. No one took Justin Thomas.
I'll take him. You can get one more.
All right. You're jumping on Thomas. Okay. I'll take Xander. I always do. Give me Xander. And let me double down with Tom Kim. You can have one more pick.
Jason Day.
All right.
I also want Billy Horschel. You get one more. Jason Day and Billy Horschel. You
all right,
get one
Sammy
more.
I'll take Sammy Burns, and that's it. All
that's
right,
it.
Sam
it.
Burns, and
that's
we're
it.
Done.
No,
all right, we're done. We're not doing this anymore. all right, moving on. Those are your picks. 15 guys apiece, and somehow Tyrrell Hatton will win the tournament.
Okay. If we don't win this one, we resign.
It's pathetic. Yes, yeah. It is. All right, our best bet still to come. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.